Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, Tom Engineering and producing our show today. Tom, I want to do a couple of quick shout-outs.
Well, it's your show.
Congratulations. Here you go, Mayor. How's that? Okay. Congratulations to all those that took part in the 9/11 Memorial Challenge. That was a lot of steps for a lot of people today. Over 2,000 steps out at Arizona Stadium. And I know Doug and Mary Martin, the owners of this fine radio station, took part and made the challenge. Also, a friend of mine who has a business in town says, please do a shout out to Tucson-based Flags for the Flagless. This is a national nonprofit that's based here that provides flags for classrooms and, basically.
Yeah, huh? Wherever there's one missing.
Yeah, if they're, you know, got a flagpole out there without a flag, Tim Stiller, they will put up the pole. And my friend has a business, and they came out, they took care of it. And so a big shout out to those people. And all of this kind of goes to what I believe, I know I'm going to do it. I'm going to fly the flag this weekend, Mayor Rothschild, to honor, you know, the 15-year anniversary of 9/11 and everything we're about in this country.
Flag is a symbol of this country. It speaks a lot to where we are as a country, and certainly on this coming week and weekend at the 15-year anniversary, couldn't probably be a better time to
and
get
speaking
that flag
of
out
the
there.
Flag you,
yes,
you remember after right after the buildings collapsed,
yes,
and they were going through the rubble,
uh-huh,
someone had placed an American flag on top of one of the rubble piles,
yes,
and it disappeared, and for years nobody knew what happened to,
yeah,
it. It's turned up.
It did.
It found that somebody found it in the state of Washington.
Oh my goodness.
They did tests on the dust and dirt on the flag and confirmed that it was,
wow,
that
isn't
flag.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an iconic photograph. Remember that photograph. Big shout out on Friday to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Dan Shear down there, TucsonLifestyle.com, supports the Southern Arizona News Examiner and the Three Sonorans. Jonathan Rothschild is here. Mr. Rothschild is the mayor of the city of Tucson and joining me to talk with the mayor, Tim Stiller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question, like to join us, the live line number 790-2040. Still some places for you on our Facebook page. We would welcome you as a friend. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Bill. It's been a good few months for the city of Tucson, and that always makes me feel good.
Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good. All right. The good news, Tucson ranks third now in job growth. This was a city that lagged, certainly one of the slower cities to recover from the 2008 downturn.
Yeah, no, that was great news and probably the best news we've gotten this week. First of all, because of the source that it came from, Bloomberg News, which is an extremely reliable business source. So we're not just looking at, you know, every week we see these different numbers.
Wallet Hub.
I wasn't going to say anything, dear.
Well, we could denigrate it.
Yeah, I mean, they're all over the place on the internet. In other words, this is a pretty reliable one.
But it's reliable. But you know what? What it does more is it, I think, speaks to where we've come as a community over the past 5 years or so, where, and part of it came as a matter of necessity, where we said as a community, you know what, we need to be more open to new business opportunities. We need to focus and concentrate on what intelligent growth looks like. And we need to create that kind of community, not just for business, but because we know that as a community we have so many needs that government, at least in today's world, is only going to provide so much of that need, and so that we need to create that stronger economy to really get to those other goals we want to get to. And so, of course, I couldn't be more pleased. At the same time, to me, it's like a football game. You win a game on Saturday night, you know what? You tell your team, enjoy Sunday.
And then
we're going to get back to work on Monday because this is where we are today. But if we want to continue to see the kind of growth we want to see, we've got to work at it every single day.
Tim Steller.
Mayor, this week the city council put off deciding about what to do with SunTran fares. This seems like just an intractable issue. What's going on now?
Yeah, I put off's a little strong. What we decided budgetary wise, probably about 4 months ago when we passed the budget, was that we were going to be required, as we look through each department, to increase transit fares this year, and we have a target goal to get there. Different proposals were put forward. The manager put one forward. I put one forward, which had the idea of it, because I've heard for years and years and years, look, we've got to protect those lowest income riders. I said, well, okay, if we're going to do that, that means other riders are going to have to pay more. A council member, Cunningham, put one out that talked about, well, no, shouldn't we really be trying to stabilize where those standard riders are and move those low-income fares up because they've been so low. And quite frankly, when we got done with looking at all the proposals, everybody saw that, you know, there's some good here, there's some mm-hmm. good here. And so we held a public hearing last Wednesday, heard from the public, got a lot of ideas. Unfortunately, a lot of the ideas are big picture ideas, and they're not things that a council can get through overnight. I mean, I think we all agree across the board that the thing that will make our system healthiest is, first of all, reliable and frequent ridership, that takes money, that what's happened in almost every other city in metropolitan area of our size is a regional transit authority, not just a regional transportation authority, but a regional transit authority. But that's going to take a little work and a little time. So, in fact, this afternoon when I get back to the office, I'll be sitting down with the manager and some of the staff, and we're going to be going through the proposals that are out there and try to take the best of each of them. And we will come back, not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, with an ordinance for adoption. And I'm confident that we will pass one, that we will see some transit fare increase, and that hopefully it'll be equitable. You know, one of the things is that costs go up. We're all citizens. We pay for our water. We pay more for it. We pay for our environmental services. We pay more for it. Our role is to try to find that balance where we can get good services, but still do it in an affordable way. And we'll get there.
All right, let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim has called. Jim Kelly. I'm going to take Jim, and then Wayne, you'll be next. Go ahead, Jim. Hey, Jim. No, we're not hearing Jim. Shall we go to...
Hear me now.
There you go. Okay, thanks, Jim.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I apologize. Very good to talk to you, Mr. Mayor. A few years ago, and when I say a few years ago, I mean probably the 90s, there was a big push amongst with the city and SunTran for ridership to the employment centers of the city of Tucson. Wherever those employment centers were, primarily at that time it was retail, so it was like malls and restaurants and call centers and things like that. I'm not seeing that kind of a push from the city or SunTran to increase ridership. With increased ridership, won't that increase revenue? And have they not made the studies of the employment sectors that most could benefit from public transportation?
Jim, actually, we're talking 30 years back, but quite frankly, it's I think you're on to a good concept. And we do some work. We work with Raytheon. We work with some of the medical centers in town to get marketing and advertising out to those employees. And I think you're exactly right. The other place where we're seeing it, and it's, again, part of this regional transit conversation as opposed to a city conversation, is we're seeing many more, because of the growth, express routes out of Marana, Oro Valley, Sarita, and quite frankly, those are choice market riders. And so we're working our way in that direction. I would grant you that that's not been as fast as I think we would all like it to be. I think we're still going to need to see, and we may see with the coming of Comcast, Home Goods, Caterpillar, some more of those areas where we can do that in. And it's a very good idea. That being said, we have to still assure that we have a system that people want to get on, that they know that the bus will be there on time, that it'll be clean, that it'll be safe, and there's a little bit of a chicken and egg in it because you got to get the money to do that, but you got to get the people on the bus to get the money. But it's a good idea.
All right, let's see if we can get Wayne in here before we take the break. Then we'll take the break. Wayne, go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I was wondering when you're going to be getting rid of those eyesore traffic cameras that are no longer in use. I mean, they're sitting there looking up at the sky, and they don't really don't help keep Tucson beautiful.
Yeah, the traffic cameras have all, of course, as you know, been taken out of operation. We have a contract with the private vendor, and the private vendor's requirement is to get them out at their cost. So that is something that we will continue to work with the vendor on. As you can imagine, I'm sure the vendor is in no rush to spend that extra money. But at the same time, I'm sure you will see over time, hopefully within the next 6 months, that those will not be there anymore.
All right, let's take our break right here. Mayor Rothschild will stick around for another segment, as will Tim Steller, the star. Okay, Tom, we've got our bump music, our Friday, kind of rock and roll Friday today. The music we have turned to, one of my favorites, Chicago. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Sounds of Chicago, one of my favorites. You're the inspiration, our bumper music today. Good choice, Tom Fairbanks, for our bump music today. Mayor Rothschild is here on our Friday Focus interview. The program is named after me, Buckmaster. Hope you're having a good week. Tim Steller's here from the Arizona Daily Star. Mayor, it seems like, maybe it has to do with the university population, it seems like we have a huge rental community. I don't even know if they do things like per capita surveys showing that we may have one of the highest rental populations. It wouldn't surprise me if it's way up there. How do we get these people that don't want to be renting into owning a piece of America, basically?
Yeah, I don't know that we're amongst the highest, but I can tell you we are higher than we want to be by a distance. We have more people in the city that rent than own. And the issue really becomes, as a city, when you're looking at a city as a whole, is that home ownership brings pride to neighborhoods. It brings better education systems, better ties, better neighborhood ties. So how do you get people into these homes? Now, part of what happened here, of course, was when the Great Recession hit, this was a construction town.
Yes, it was.
And so all of a sudden, you saw people who were getting into these homes quickly, maybe not under the best circumstances at the time, losing these homes quickly. Well, that did a couple things. Number one, it took people, it made a bad experience for them where they said, you know what, I don't want to live in, this didn't work. This is something I don't want.
Underwater once, they're not going to go through it again.
Probably even a little more pernicious. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had kids who watched their parents go through that. Mm. And they said, why would, and you know, it's a different generation anyway, why would I want to do that? As mayor, I see the importance of homeownership. And so we started to look at some of those numbers, and we started to see that we were not on the upper side of that. And we actually started around the university area. And it's a university community. You see that around a lot of university mm-hmm. communities. And our numbers there were shocking, really wasn't too strong a world. I mean, the WUNA probably, and again, my numbers are going to be a little off, and I hate always doing
WUNA
that.
WUNA being West University.
Yeah. 10% home ownership.
Oh, my
you
goodness.
Know,
that low.
Sam Hughes, one of your well-to-do neighborhoods, yeah. 47% home ownership. And so we basically started by looking around the university area. And part of that has to do with you're in a university area. There's going to be a lot of rentals. There's going to be a lot of student rentals. Around the country in the early 2000s, when Fannie Mae and was stronger, some of the universities were stronger, so a lot of these university communities, USC, Temple, actually created programs around their universities to bring homeownership back to that, bring their own employees back. So, of course, times have changed. You know, mm-hmm. not all the resources are quite there. but we're going to go out on that same effort now. And we got a really good break this year from the federal administration and through the Arizona Department of Housing, which brought a program called Pathway to Purchase to Tucson. Eligibility for 4,000 new homes, $20,000 down payment, that you have to live in the home for about 5 years, up to $92,000 combined family income, up to about a little over $300,000 house. So it's not necessarily it's a house that a lot of younger people, moderate income people, can get into. Comes with a counseling program, so you just don't, you know, move in. Mm-hmm. And I had heard last week that we had 1,200 reservations already for that.
Wow.
Now, that's a citywide it's a program that's available in the city of Tucson and South Tucson. It's a citywide program, so it doesn't necessarily have to be around the university. But what we're starting with next week, and I think I've got it right
here. That was my next question. Yeah. How do people get involved?
So Tuesday, September 13th, at the University of Arizona, at the Student Union Grand Ballroom, there's going to be a homeowner expo fair. It's going to have a number of nonprofits, a number of lenders, and some commercial folks. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some programming. We're going to have programming on down payment assistance, what it is to have a mortgage, what you ought to look like for that, what a credit rating looks like. And we're advertising at this point. University of Arizona is going out and to their employees, City of Tucson, Pima County. It's kind of what Jim was talking about earlier. How do you get these employer bases to come into certain places? For the University of Arizona, they've expressed a real interest in wanting to have their employees living close to their place of work.
Right, yeah.
You know, especially with the streetcar, again, bus systems, having people walk to work, ride to work. So we're going to give it a shot. And, you know, moving those needles, those are big needles to move. But if we can move this needle a percent or 2%, 4,000 homes, if we can do that in a year, I'll be pretty happy.
Here's Tim Stellar.
Yeah, is there? Do you have a number or a percentage? Let's put it this way. What should our percentage or number of renters be? That is, by how much? Because not everybody should be owning a home,
correct,
right?
Correct. And people will tell you, look, you look at numbers, and probably 35% of people, and that's a conservative number, shouldn't be home ownership. Does that mean 65% should be in? Probably not, you know, because there's a number somewhere in between that. But I think if I'm remembering right, and again, I'm always off a little bit with my numbers, but I think we're like at 42-43%. We ought to be able to move that number up. And so, yeah, those ranges are in that range. And part of that is changing times. Getting people to understand that there is, and I will tell you, one of the things you can do with people is you can say, hey, how much are you paying for your rental?
Right, right.
Okay, well, you can get into a home. Oh, you mean it costs me $300 less a month?
It actually costs less, you know, than renting to buy a home.
But it's an education thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And by the way, the other thing we have in Tucson, particularly in the inner city, is we've got a lot of older historic homes.
Yes, we do.
That people are interested in. But they do need reinvestment, and they do need home ownership so that we can keep them in the place we want them.
In the university area, a lot of the students are moving out of those houses they used to rent, right? Just moving into the new tall buildings and all that for student housing.
Yeah, and so that's the other thing that really drove it is what we start hearing from the neighborhoods is, well, you know, first what we heard from the neighborhoods is, look, we don't want these students in our neighborhood, red tags, all that, we deal with that. Well, now the students have moved into the towers. Well, now what we're hearing is these places are vacant, you know, and that's even creating a larger problem for us. And so that's part of what this whole drive is about is like, okay, and we're actually getting good support from the neighborhoods. They're really going around the neighborhoods, walking the streets and identifying for us, here's an address that's vacant. Here's an address that looks like it's in really poor condition. And now we have to somehow actualize that, but we're getting a really good inventory of homes that we think could be converted to home ownership.
Tim, you have a quick question. The Star wrote about the Spice Band.
Yeah. We're running out of time, I take it. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Well, you, the council took action, was it this week, to what make it a city code violation to sell spice, the synthetic cannabinoids, or however you pronounce it. So what was that about? Why'd you do that?
Well, it's a study session, and it was a good study session. There is a concern. It was brought by Councilmembers Kozacik, I believe Romero and Fimbres, because what we've seen, and certainly what we've seen on the streets, I know, Tim, you've probably written about it, I'm sure you've seen it, is you get these young kids, they get on the street, they go out and buy something, they take it in, and the next thing, they're in some place nobody wants them, and including themselves. And the fact of the matter is they're buying legal substances. And they'll say on them, not for consumer use. But we had Chief Magnuson, we had Chief Critchley, and we had Dr. Garcia in from the County Health Department. And they all said, you know, they say that, but they know in some cases what these are being used for. Not all cases, but in some cases. And it was an interesting conversation because the state does have a law that prohibits certain substances. But what these folks can do is they can then just add a few other different substances, and then it takes out of the law. So I think what our council is looking for, is there a way that we can expand that? And I think New York City did that, and our city attorney is going to look around the country to see if there's a way that we can do that in such a way as to not violate other laws. What was interesting about it, is we're looking at, and we have a health care sector partnership, and the health care sector community is looking at the opioid issue in this community, and it's a nationwide problem. And I think this year we've had a whole number of deaths as a result of opioid abuse. In the Spice case, they were able to document two deaths. So the chief of police comes in and says, you know, this is important, but we've also got this issue we're focusing on. Then the fire chief comes in and he says, you know what, this isn't killing people, but I got last month 75 calls. My guys had to go out there. They had to sit with these guys for 2-3 hours just to stabilize and make sure they didn't do something else, taking resources off of the street for other purposes, and also putting these kids in a place where they probably don't want to be health-wise. So it's something worth looking at. Part of it's going to be education. Part of it's going to be enforcement. But part of it is, can we develop a stronger statute that tells these houses, look, guys, you're not going to sell this stuff because we know what it's being used for.
So spice can be purchased then legally?
Well, as the mayor was explaining, it depends on exactly what compounds are used. It's you know, basically just herbal matter that's sprayed with a chemical that people then smoke. So I always wonder with introducing new laws like this. I mean, there are laws on the books, federal and state. DEA just did a big raid in Tucson, South Tucson. Is it not enforcement that needs to happen as opposed to new laws?
Well, I mean, it really is. I really think it's all three. And in fact, I think it was the chief said yesterday that we just had a recent interdiction on the spice, a big take, and that's really lowered our incidence. He says, but you know what? That lower incidence, that might be a month or two until we see something the next time. So I, as a community, and you know, I know, Tim, you do it. I know I do it. We're walking the streets. We're looking for trouble, but we see trouble. And certainly one of those areas has been with these kids that have been using this. And so if there's anything we can do to, you know, all we can do as a council, all we can do as an ordinance makers is to try to create that ordinance. After that, it becomes an issue of where's your resources for enforcement? Where's your resources for education?
All right, we're going to wrap it up right there. Mayor, I do want to remind people, if they were listening, about the home ownership. That's Tuesday, September 13th, the upcoming Tuesday, 3:30 to 7:30 at the U of A, the main ballroom at the Student Union. This is an important event for anybody that's really thinking about getting some help in getting into a home here.
Yeah, and I will tell you, Councilmember Kozacik's office has also been very helpful on this. Of course, this is Ward 6, and this is where we're focusing first. But we're going to do this. We're going to see how it goes. But we also want to take this into employer bases and start talking about employers about home ownership and also taking it around the city. But this is a great place to start.
All right. Mayor, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you. All right. 12 coming up on 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Tom, we'll have our Friday roundtable. Mr. Fairbanks, take it away with more Chicago. What do you have?
It's time for the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's second annual Sweat for Pets Walk, Run, and Roll, October 23rd at the University of Arizona Campus Mall. Bring your well-behaved canine companion and all your friends and show your support for your hometown animal shelter. All proceeds go directly back to saving the lives of the homeless and neglected animals at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. You can win prizes too, including a Fitbit and an Apple Watch. Win a custom t-shirt when you raise $100. Register today and start building your team at sweatforpetstucson.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. Then, 15 years after 9/11, are we safer from terrorism? Buckmaster at noon on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
Put your hand in mine.
A little bit of Chicago, our bump music here on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday roundtable. Tim Steller is with us. Tim, you know, this whole thing about spice, and now we've got, what is it? There, the two measures on the ballot, you got minimum wage, upping the minimum wage, but that's going to get a lot of publicity. But what I think people are going to be focusing on is this, I don't know the number of the marijuana initiative.
205, I believe.
205, okay. I know we're going to do pretty much a whole show on it in mid-October, good. But we talked a little bit about yesterday on our showdown. There's a lot of interest, had a lot of calls. And then this development today from this company up in Chandler that is involved with making painkillers, right? Yeah. And they're against the marijuana initiative.
Yeah, this is just an amazing story.
Can you explain this?
So it's a company in Chandler. I'm trying to remember the name. Something like Insys. I'll look it up right now. But their one currently available product is a spray form of fentanyl, which is an extremely powerful opiate. It's the one that Prince took and died from. So that's their one existing product, and they donated $500,000 toward defeating the initiative to legalize marijuana, which just kind of, in some ways, blows your mind thinking about the competition that exists between illegal and legal drugs, recreational and medicinal. It's almost as if the lines have blurred so much that we can't tell. The categories make no difference anymore.
Well, the whole thing about this, and we've talked with our attorney who comes on the program once a month, one of our supporters, Don Luce, about these marijuana laws that continue to be, voters approving them across the country. And then, but the political will, depending on who is elected president, could change. Because federally, marijuana is still on the federal books as a crime.
Yep. Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean,
the Obama administration has chosen not to enforce it in the states.
Exactly. Where, you know. So anything could happen in this regard. And this is turning into a huge moneymaker for the medicinal marijuana, which we already have. And now with this coming up, it could easily pass.
Yeah, I mean, the polls, the first poll I saw from Mike Noble's firm, I think had it down 10 points or so. And if I correct me if I'm wrong or forgive me if I'm mistaken, but the Republic's poll, which came out recently, had the voters even, like 43 or something. Mm-hmm. In any case, it was even. There were some undecideds. So there's a lot to play for, so to speak, in this campaign season. By the way, that company's name is Insys Therapeutics. The company.
What do they make specifically?
Okay, they make a spray that goes under the tongue for cancer patients.
Okay,
and so the kind of implication here is that they view marijuana available to all without a card as competition. But it gets weirder because they also list seven efforts they have ongoing to use marijuana themselves, to develop products using marijuana themselves. So
in other words, this might, if marijuana is defeated here, it might buy them some time to rework some.
You cannot underestimate the power of money in this debate, as in all debates. But, you know, on the pro-legalization side, this is basically the medical marijuana industry trying to make their own businesses become the only outlets for legalized marijuana for recreational use. Because that's who would have first dibs up to, I think, the year 2020. Only existing licensees would be able to sell recreational marijuana. So you know, they have a huge financial incentive to get this passed. They won't have a monopoly because they'll compete with each other, but they won't have open competition.
You know, you mentioned a poll. I think it was the Republic poll. The Arizona Republic has teamed on a couple of these polls with the Cronkite School of Journalism at ASU and the Morrison Institute for Public Policy. They also put out the first major statewide independent political survey of the political season concerning a McCain-Kirkpatrick race. And this one is very interesting. Everybody knows who John McCain is. Mm-hmm. That's what the survey, whether people are favorable or unfavorable, if you ask these people who is John McCain, they're going to know.
Yeah, right.
But when it came to his opponent, Democrat Ann Kirkpatrick, I was surprised. One in three people really didn't know anything about her.
Yeah, that kind of doesn't surprise me. I mean, she did represent half the...
But I guess maybe we follow this stuff too closely, or it's our job to do so, but the public, you know, they don't know who these people are.
Right, which gives him and his campaign and all his supporters in the outside spending world a chance to define her. And, you know, they're right, and they're doing what they should, which is, you know, they're attacking her on Obamacare. They're attacking her on some of these other votes and on this 2009 incident, which she's been attacked over every time she runs, where she fled the scene
of
a town.
What's this about?
It's one of these things that you just can't live down.
There's video of her, like, fleeing.
Like, she had a town hall, but it wasn't a town hall. It was supposed to be more like the Congress on your corner that Gabby Giffords and others held, where individuals line up and talk to her. But there was some hullabaloo. This was in the 2009. I can't remember what
the
issue was.
It's been this video has been resurrected in a campaign.
Right. And then, right. It's 7 years old.
McCain
camp has resurrected it and said she ran away. And she has fired back and said they should take down this ad because the sheriff himself says he asked her to leave. Okay, but it gets deeper than that. Because the sheriff did not say that back in 2009. He said this wasn't working out, so it wasn't going to work. The people were angry, so she left. That's basic. He didn't say anything about safety back at the time. So sometimes, you know, there are things that I think merit being taken down or apologized for.
Like the wanted...
Yeah, the wanted poster that McCain camp put out with Ann Kirkpatrick's face on it, and then bullet holes, apparently, around it. So it was an Old West style thing.
Was there ever an apology?
No. They didn't apologize for this. So for me, that should have been apologized for. On the other hand, this other thing, no. I mean, come on. It's fair game, even though it's kind of silly and old news.
I think the other senator from Arizona, our other senator, Jeff Flake, is winning friends, some Democratic friends these days.
I don't know if he's winning the friends he needs to win.
I know.
Yeah,
that's a whole. That whole thing is very curious, but it shouldn't really be because he's not running for. He's not up for re-election,
right,
so he can pretty much say what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, people will remember in 4 years that he largely opposed Trump, though not definitively. You know, this goes back to when Trump had a meeting after assuring himself of the nomination with all the Republican senators, and Trump confronted him there. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Flake confronted Trump there.
Publicly, right?
No, it was not public, but word got out immediately, and the Flake camp was not shy in letting word get out.
Oh, that was behind the closed doors.
Yeah, it was behind closed doors, okay. But it's another one of these cases where Trump couldn't let a slight lie, and so he has referred to himself as a counterpuncher. I mean, I would say he's just obsessed with slights, you know. Mm. So he remembers when someone like Flake has slighted him, and he insists on countering, even if it doesn't benefit him.
Tim Stoller is here from The Star, and this is my first chance to talk with Tim since the primary election. Looking over the results, did you see it? I frankly didn't see that many surprises. Did you?
No. I mean, there were some hot races that we were all looking at.
The Barbara LaWall race.
Barbara LaWall. You know, it was interesting. The ones where challengers took on incumbents, in large measure, the incumbents won. Of course, Allie Miller's victory was not surprising, but perhaps surprising in its margin. It was a solid victory.
And that is what I wanted to ask you about, because she does have a Democratic opponent,
yes.
Mr. Bickle. Now, yes, I believe, and the numbers, was it about 40% voted for Winchester?
Yeah, it is the low 40s. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay. Do those people who perhaps do not like Allie Miller, do they vote then for the Democrat? Does he pick up some of that support?
Yeah,
could that make that a fairly close race?
I could. I'm not convinced that's going to happen. But yeah, I mean, if I were Bickle, I would be working hard to get those supporters and contributors who helped out the Winchester campaign. You know, he got a lot of big money, especially mm-hmm. toward the end of the primary campaign. And I don't know if that money is committed to the Republican Party or if it's committed to ousting Allie Miller.
Hmm.
It could go either way, as far as I know.
So we'll be keeping an eye on that. We'll be keeping an eye on the Sharon Bronson, Kim DeMarco race. Mm-hmm. Will be interesting. Any other races that we should be keep an eye out for?
Oh, well, what I found interesting was the ones that were already decided. Well, I guess the LD 2 down in from Nogales up through here, where Chris Ackerley is member of the House, a Republican,
yes.
representing a primarily Democratic aligned district. So he's got two tough challengers.
He's got an incumbent on the Democratic
Rosanna
side.
Gabaldon,
and then you've got Mr. Hernandez.
And Daniel Hernandez.
Yeah,
so it's going to be a tough race. I could see anything happening there. And generally speaking, I mean, what Democrats are hoping for now is to be able to win a split of the Senate. They have a chance in a couple of districts up in Phoenix to take seats from Republicans. And I was talking to one of the candidates up there, Eric Meyer, the former House Minority Leader, who said you know, his race is won, and then there are a couple others where if they win them, it'll be a split Senate, and that'll change the dynamic a little bit in the legislature.
All right. What should we look for? Have you done the column, or you're going to go over to the Rincon Market right now and think about it? I know you too well.
Yeah. No, I only go there when I'm desperate.
I know. Yeah. No, you're desperate for an idea. You don't go there when you're desperate. You enjoy the food there and everything else. But you go there maybe when you're desperate for
right.
an idea.
No, I got my ideas all lined up. There's more than enough to write about these days. But I'm going back, speaking of the legislature, to look again at an experience I had when the CEO of Theranos company was in Phoenix, and I happened to be there for the day. That company has since collapsed, but at the time, won great victory in the Arizona legislature.
All right. Tim Stoller, good to see you. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Bill.
More than just the flight, it's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
All right, let's do the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, a guy always searching for a good meal, is our host of Weekend Watch, brought to you and me by Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Silver City and the historic Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. So much to do over there. I strongly recommend you check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, the full listing of the many things to do, including just hanging out in historic downtown Silver City. They've got some great restaurants over there, the full listing of places to stay, and the many things to do. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. And he is ready, Mr. Russell, wearing his Bear Down Arizona outfit as he gets ready for the first home game of the football season.
Absolutely. It is really hard to believe that it's college football season.
It is.
I tell you what, but our friends over at Main Gate Square are going to be gearing up to host their annual series of Bear Down Fridays to kind of get the rally started. Now, the first one is today from 4 to 7 p.m. all around Main Gate on University Boulevard with the Pride of Arizona marching band, some U of A cheerleaders, and great food and drink specials throughout the square. And, of course, while you're down there, I always love stopping by Red's Smokehouse for some Arizona-style ribs and a local craft brew. Of course, free parking in the Tyndall Garage. Bear down, Bill. It's party time.
You have never passed a rib place that you have not dropped into. When you smell, if you smell the slightest hint of a rib, you're there, Mr. Matt Russell.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, how about some of these? Well, what is this about an independent distillery doing some gin?
Yeah, you know, about a year ago, it's actually called the Independent Distillery. Oh. They opened downtown and quickly became one of the go-to places for a great pre-prohibition-style cocktail. But this weekend, they're going to be celebrating their first anniversary by releasing their very first spirit, and this is a gin that features a blend of 10 different botanicals. And they're going to be offering tastings of this new spirit today and tomorrow from noon to 5, and there's going to be giveaways and music as well. I tell you, this local distilling movement continues to grow, and this gin sounds like something I got to try. It's at the Independent Distillery downtown all weekend.
Food truck a-coming.
Yeah, we're always on the lookout for fun food truck concepts, and the latest one that caught my eye is actually piloted by a former Canyon Ranch chef who's now on the culinary team at Merival. Now, check it out. It's called Pray Libations and Supper, but don't expect to see quinoa burgers and flaxseed shakes on this truck bill. The chef is obviously taking an evening break from his day job by serving up dishes like barbecue pork butt tacos with bacon fat guacamole and chorizo mac and cheese. But the best part, Bill, nothing on the menu is more than $4. You can search for them on Facebook to see where they're going to be this weekend. That's Pray with an E, P-R-E-Y, Libations and Supper.
Enjoy, Matt. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
And, of course, we will be marking the 15th anniversary of the attacks on America. 7 o'clock at the Demeester Band Shell, the Tucson Pops, putting together a wonderful concert Sunday evening at 7. It is free, so it's going to be a great event as we honor America. We also want to honor a fine young musician who has composed original theme music. He's a German. Christophan is his name. There's a link to his music at buckmastershow.com. He's just released his first album. Check it out. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of my whole team here at KVOI, Doug and Mary Martin, Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, of course, Rosemary Brandt, my fine assistant, to make sure all of our podcasts get up in such a timely manner. We got a great team backing us on the Buckmaster Show. And, of course, we want to thank you all for your support. Have a great weekend. Don't forget Charles's work that's coming up Sunday. He does a great job as well. Charles Heller. We got to go. Have a great weekend.